welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today I have a very special program for you. I've invited author Dr. Sandra Starin to the program, and she is here to tell us about her latest book, Look Before You Leap. So a little bit about Sandra. Dr. Starin has a PhD in clinical psychology and did her postgraduate work at the American Institute for Psychoanalysis and Psychotherapy in New York City, and is a fellow at the Academy of Family Psychology. Dr. Starin has authored two psychological thriller novels, Prescription for Terror and Secrets from the Couch, as well as many mental health articles and her comprehensive book dedicated to professional counselors, psychologists, and social workers titled Essentials of Premarital Counseling. Today, she's here to talk to us about Look Before You Leap, which is a premarital guide dedicated to couples that is based on 40 years of professional experience. And you can find out more about Sandra at her website, drsandralevysarin.com. So with that, welcome to the program, Dr. Starin.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Juanita.
Wonderful. Well, congratulations on this new book. I know it just recently hit the shelves.
Yes, it did.
Mm-hmm. So tell us why there is such a need for a book like this, a premarital guide for couples.
That's a very good question. I'm delighted to answer this. I have seen so many couples who are in the throes of divorce or who are not getting along after many years of marriage or even just at the beginning of the marriage, and I really felt a need to write such a book so that it would really deter people from getting into relationships that just are not workable. They have either picked somebody much too quickly without getting to really know who they are, where their fit is not a good fit, and they have such contrasts and such conflicts that the relationship is almost doomed from the beginning. So I felt putting together all that I knew about what makes a marriage work and what absolutely deters a marriage from working, namely, it's your personality and your view of the world, your value system. Those things have to be compatible, or else the relationship is not going to work effectively. So I devised a series of in-depth personality tests. It's a questionnaire. It's kind of fun to do, and it really allows people to learn about who they are themselves and who their spouse, their prospective spouse really is. It's really quite in-depth and quite, I think, extremely helpful. You really get to know who this person is on paper and in your everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And they exchange this personality questionnaire, and they can really have a different perspective of this person. And then I have also relationship questionnaire, how they relate to different things that go on in their lives and with each other and with other people and with family members. And it's also very thought-provoking. You have to really take a good look at yourself inward and outward. And it's very, very helpful. And I also have in this, there's a whole bunch of things. I have not only those two tests, I have some I present some situations that are common to most couples and ask them to evaluate how they would respond to these situations. And some of them are rather stressful. And if they could agree on some of these things in the best way to respond, they have a better chance of making a good life together. So I after I did this work, I subjected the materials to people that were coming in for premarital counseling, because that's a special niche that I've developed and really thoroughly enjoy working with couples. It's a very rewarding experience. I did a 5-year follow-up study and found a pretty high success rate Unfortunately, I don't have the figures with me, but I think it was about 80%, something like that.
That's high.
70. It was very high. Mm-hmm. I may be exaggerating that, but it was significantly high. Let me put it that way. I should have really had that statistic for you.
That's okay.
Anyhow, it worked out that these tests were quite significant. And I said, gee, if this is going to work, I want to share this with other people. Mm-hmm. So I wrote a book about exactly, including all these tests that I had devised, because it was definitely a good test. People reported, some people reported after 5 years that they decided not to marry the potential mate and use the tests and what they learned from it to find another mate.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very happy in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And other people said they did not. They did not follow the test's conclusions and decided to get married anyhow, and they were sorry.
Yeah, right. Well, I think that's a really good point, because this book, it has a lot of applications. You know, I think this would be a great book for someone to read that is actually single, that wants to be married someday. I mean, there is so much that you cover in this book. It's not just for someone that is on the verge of getting married, really.
I appreciate you saying that, Juanita. As a matter of fact, one of the reviewers said something that was so commendable and made me feel so good, because I'm offering something to people that are already married, that how they can fix little glitches, little problems that they have in their relationship through some of the little tasks
mm-hmm.
that I give them to do.
Yeah.
You know, so it serves as a guide in improving relationships with other people,
yeah.
not even just a spouse, but it really is, it has other benefits, and I'm delighted that it really has as much as it does.
Yes. Well, so let's look at couples. A couple that is going to get married, you know, they're thinking about getting married. How do you actually see them using this book?
Well, I think that they could read the book thoroughly. They could read it from cover to cover. It's a very, very slim volume, and it's very readable, because I do present a lot of case studies. Of course, it's all very, it's disguised. The people's names are disguised. Their physiognomy are disguised. So that but these are actual couples that I have treated through the years. They probably may not recognize it if they read it, but they might recognize the situation as being true for them. In any case, I think the book can really open people's eyes. Is this the right person for me? I see here that we have so many conflicts already. How are we going to get past these conflicts? So if it's a couple who are really thinking of getting married, they have to examine, why do I want this partner? What will benefit me, and how will I benefit him or her if we were to make this commitment to each other? What are we really going to offer each other? Do we have the same values? Are we on the same page? Do we agree with how we want to spend our money? Do we agree with who is the boss in the house? Is there a boss in the house? What are our household tasks? How do we agree to share them? Who picks up the slack? Is that a problem, or do you measure all the time? I mean, there are some couples, well, I took out the garbage yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take it out today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but honey, I'm so tired. I carry so much stuff today. I just can't lift it. Please, you know, I'll leave it to tomorrow. I just can't do it. Okay, all right, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it this time, you know, begrudgingly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is not a good mate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what if you threw out the garbage every single day? If your spouse is tired or not able to do it or whatever, there can't be any kind of resentment in terms of how much one person is doing as opposed to how little, as long as you're not feeling that person who wants something of you is taking advantage of you unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very, very much a destroyer of relationships, isn't it? Resentment.
Yeah. Oh, resentment is a real heavy thing, and it also comes into play when we're talking about who makes how much money, you know,
okay.
who makes more money, and how you handle your finances. Do you have his, hers, and ours, or do you just have his and hers? That's really important. How much are you willing to share? I have couples that I have seen where the woman has had a very good professional career and is making much more money than the guy. And she either is the kind of woman who wants to keep it all, or who is willing to share it. And he may be the kind of a guy who resents her for making all this kind of money, and it becomes a conflict. So they have to decide how do they want to handle this kind of thing. I'm really concerned when a couple have disagreements about the money, because money is something that can cause a great deal of problems if the couple are unwilling to share,
mm-hmm.
unwilling to decide, well, just because I make more money than you doesn't mean that I can spend more money than you. That kind of thing does not work in a marriage.
When you look at typical stressful scenarios that people need to prepare for before marriage, finances, obviously, you're saying, would be one of the key ones to talk about. What would some of the others be?
Well, I think another thing may have to do with sex. A lot of couples come in because they have an unequal sexual desire, level of sexual libido, let's say. So they need to really come to some kind of an agreement where they feel it's okay. They don't have to reach a climax every time they have sex or whatever the situation is. As long as they're affectionate and respect each other's needs, I think we have a better couple here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell me, Sandra, what do you say to people that jump into marriage with the idea that because they love each other, they're either not going to have any problems or they'll just be able to figure it all out when the problem surfaces?
Yeah, and that is a very, very bad way to go.
Yeah.
It's great if you love each other. That's the beginning. You love each other. Why do you love each other? What do you love about each other? Is it just a physical attraction? Oftentimes, that's all it is. You know, she's gorgeous. She's just a dynamite chick, and he's just a gorgeous dude, you know?
Right, right, right.
And they connect on a chemical, you know, on a physical basis. And they long for each other. They're walking around on a cloud, you know. They're just so happy. The hormones are flowing, and that's great. That's a wonderful feeling. I think that's marvelous. Will it last? Well, maybe it'll last if they just lay in bed all day.
Right.
I guess that'll get a little tiring. There are more things than just love. Love can't conquer all. Love can cause so much grief, that kind of love, because if there aren't things that are strong to strengthen the relationship. Let's say she becomes ill. She becomes very ill. I had a couple like that, actually, where she became ill, and she actually grew, she looked like she was much older than she had been, and she was only in her 20s.
Mm-hmm.
He saw her as like a 55-year-old woman, you know, like his mother,
mm-hmm.
and he lost interest in her. And that's terrible.
Yeah.
That is just an awful thing. Why did he marry her? Because she was a hot chick?
Mm-hmm.
That's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
So where am I going with this? There was a point I was trying to make. Yeah, love isn't enough. Love is physical attraction can diminish in time, too. I mean, hopefully it won't, but it can diminish in intensity. I don't mean diminished totally. I just mean the newfound love where you're just walking on a cloud. I have, you know, recently a woman came in. She says, I'm in love. And she was so excited. It was just wonderful. I said, leave this feeling here.
Yeah.
Take some of it with you, but leave it for the next person who needs it.
Right. So is this where we get into what true intimacy actually is?
What true intimacy? Yes, that's a very good question. I'm glad you brought that up, because intimacy is not just sexual intimacy. It's the ability to connect with another human being on all levels, to be able to share your hopes, your dreams, your goals, what you want out of life, what you want from the other person, what you want from yourself, what you want in terms of the family life. Do you want to have kids? Well, a lot of couples don't even discuss it. They don't discuss it. They,
mm-hmm.
I've had an interfaith marriage recently where he was Catholic, she was Jewish. What were they going to do about that?
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to handle their children? Mm-hmm. You know, what religion are they going to be? If she were to become Catholic, her family would be very upset. If he were to become Jewish, his family would be very upset. How are they going to resolve this problem? Will they let the children decide? That's not a good answer.
Right.
That really isn't, because
mm-hmm.
if they decide they want to be a Catholic, then they'll feel that they're rejecting their mother, or the other way around.
Yes.
So they have to really make these decisions ahead of time. How important is religion in your life? Some people, I had a couple actually where she didn't care about religion at all, and he was a very fervent Christian, and he would go to Bible study, and he wanted her to come, and she didn't want to come, and they had to respect each other. Let him go, that's his thing. I'll play Mahjong, she said. The young woman, Mahjong's back in style. Anyhow, but that's what they decided to do. When they have kids, I don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to respect each other's need for a faith, or to be without a faith, or whatever it happens to be. Has to be mutually agreed upon that they each can follow their own way. It's sort of like he likes to read science fiction and she likes to read thrillers. So, you know, so they don't have to share the books.
Right. What I'm hearing, it all kind of boils down to communication and practicing that communication before you actually make that commitment for marriage. Like, this work should be done before.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Don't wait to after you get married to fix these problems. This, if the book will tell you anything, it really should have a warning sign on it. Get to know the person you are wanting to spend the rest of your life with, hopefully. Get to know that person as intimately in all aspects, in all respects of their lives, their spiritual life, their emotional life, their physical life, their what's in their head, you know, their intellectual life, whatever it happens to be. If a couple do not share common values, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she finds out he's a petty thief. Oh, my goodness. And she is the most honest person. I mean, there isn't the most. You're either honest or dishonest. She's honest, he's dishonest. How is that going to work?
Yeah, right. Well, how can you actually find out about your potential future spouse's background and everything you need to know without becoming, you know, the interrogator or really playing detective or, you know, that kind of, that doesn't feel so good when you're in that
space. No, that's no good. If you have to play detective, that relationship shouldn't be.
Okay, interesting.
In other words, if you don't know right off who this person is, you want to marry a mystery woman or a mystery man?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is not good. I mean, it may be fun in reading it in a book, but it's certainly not fun if it's everyday life.
Yeah.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Whether you've already written your manuscript or are contemplating writing one, you will need to create a book proposal. ReaderViews has a coaching service to help you create an enticing book proposal for your work of fiction or nonfiction. In fact, ReaderViews will even submit your book proposal to publishers and agents they have created a relationship with, and then they promise to pursue these submissions. Go to ReaderViews.com today and click on Services for Authors to find out more information on book proposals and how ReaderViews can help you. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking today with Dr. Sandra Sarin. You can find out more about her new book, Look Before You Leap, at drsandralevysarin.com.
You want to know that the person you're marrying is going to work where he says he's going? he's doing the kind of work he says he's doing or she is doing. You know, she's a teacher. Well, is she really a teacher or is she a prostitute?
Right.
I mean, that's pretty easy to find out.
Right.
You have to really become intimately involved with this person on a deep level. I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about emotional intimacy. Who is this person that is going to share my life? If you have to play detective, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this book is written. You've got all these questionnaires that to be answered in the most open way you can. And I can tell when somebody is really lying. It's really rather easy. This is why I think premarital counseling is so important. And if you go to someone who's well-trained and knows what they're doing, you're much better off. A lot of ministers do this kind of work, I have to say.
Yes, that's true.
And and I think that they do a fairly good job with healthy couples. They do a good job because they go through different issues, which I think, you know, I go through those issues too, and I think that they're well equipped to handle those kinds of things. So I'm not trying to put down or demean any ministers, but I will give you this little information, which I think is rather interesting. I do know a minister who I gave the book to read for a review,
mm-hmm.
and he said, you know, if I'm going to review this for my my fellow clergymen, I'm not going to give it a good review for them because I don't think they're equipped to handle these questionnaires that you have.
Is that right?
That's what he said to me. He said, I know about this stuff because I have a PhD in psychology. He did have a PhD in psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, so I understand these questionnaires, and I understand the depth of what you're doing, but I don't think they'd know how to interpret it.
Well, that is interesting. I don't know. I don't quite agree with that. I've seen your book. And I think that this information that you are really putting forth in this book creates a conscious relationship and not an unconscious one that's filled with expectations and all of that. You know, you are opening up people's eyes with what you're presenting here.
You know, I think I did that too. And when he said that, I was really kind of shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, well, maybe he's too lazy to write a review.
Well, that being said, I don't agree. Oh, that's so funny. Well, I do want to talk a little to this personality quiz, and then there's the relationship quiz as well. But you preface the personality quiz by saying that this quiz is only valuable after one trades their rose-colored glasses for a high-powered magnifying lens. So tell us what that means and maybe a little more about the effectiveness of this quiz and basically the questions that you're asking, what the purpose really is.
Well, the purpose is for people to reveal themselves to themselves and
mm-hmm.
to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, you know, many of us wear rose-colored glasses. We don't like to see the blemishes on our face when we look in the mirror. We would prefer seeing a clear complexion, let's say. So, but if you really want to get the picture, you want to get the full picture, you have to take the risk of revealing who you are, and you're doing it to benefit your relationship and to benefit yourself. Because if you don't know yourself, you know, to thine own self be true.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important. You have to know who you really are. We're not all perfect. We have limitations. And those limitations can be respected. They can either be changed if you wish them to be changed and are willing to work on them, or they don't have to be, and you can still be an acceptable person because nobody is perfect. It's just what you expect your spouse to be and to have some realistic expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you benefit. It's like going to a therapist. Are you going to go to the therapist and the therapist says, how do you feel? Oh, I just feel wonderful. So why are you here? What do you want to gain?
Yeah.
If you feel wonderful? What, you know, what's aching you? Where's your anguish? Where's your angst? Why are you here? And the person then has to say, well, you know, I get depressed now and then, and sometimes I really get so depressed I can't get out of bed. They have to say.
Mm-hmm.
you know, how often does this happen? And then therapists could make suggestions or even say, well, I think you're going to need some medication because it sounds to me like you, from what you say, you're bipolar or whatever that happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we reveal ourselves to our spouse. Certainly you're not going to get medicine from your spouse, but you are going to get a therapeutic relationship because that's what love is. Love, in a way, is therapy. It's therapeutic. You feel embraced by someone who cares, who really loves you and is willing to accept you as you are with your little pimples and blemishes and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they have their own. It's really, does the holes in her head fit the bumps in his?
Yeah, and that's reality.
What?
And that's reality.
Yeah, that's reality.
Yeah.
You're not going to be perfect, but, you know, will you accept me with this fact that I am a little bit obsessive compulsive?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to accept the fact that I'm a neat freak? Can you accept that? And they, people, you know, just because someone, for example, they find out that he's a neat freak and she is sloppy. Okay, it's very, very hard for a neat freak to live with a sloppy person because they're wired in such a way that everything has to be in its place or else they really feel very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The sloppy person doesn't matter, but once, let's say it's a she understands that he has this need. She loves him, so she says, okay, you know, how am I going to handle this? Okay, in her drawer, her bras, her panties can be all mixed together. It doesn't matter to her, and it shouldn't matter to him because he doesn't go to her drawers. But in places where they have a shared business, you know, let's say their credit card statements or things of that sort that really mean that he has to have neatness, so he takes care of those matters, and she has to comply. It's easier for the sloppy person to deal with the neat freak than the other way around,
mm-hmm.
because she's wired in a way that she's loose, you know, and that's good in a way.
Yeah, and so that's compromise.
Yeah, it's a compromise,
yeah.
And
yeah.
they have to learn, you know,
and that's part of healthy conflict resolution.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about arguments and disagreements. Is it normal and healthy to have arguments? And how will a couple know when their arguments are going into the marriage-threatening zone?
Well, it depends what they're arguing about.
Mm.
You know, if she's arguing about his new girlfriend, I mean, that's a biggie. That's really a biggie. Or that he lied and didn't tell her how much money he spent. Or that he is doing drugs again, or something like that, those are really serious matters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're serious matters, and they have to be addressed immediately because that marriage can very well be doomed and maybe better ended, actually, if it's threatened with things of that sort. But I'm not saying that it always is the case, but it's certainly not a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to really look and see, what is this argument about? Is it an argument, well, she spent a little too much money that month on the hairdresser because she wanted to get her hair, what do they call it, you know, tinted with different streaks or, I don't know, I forgot what it's called.
Highlights.
Anyhow, my highlights are there, they're gray. What I'm saying is that it depends upon, you know, how serious the matter is. So one time she did splurge, and she went over budget. Let's say they do have a budget, and she went over budget, but she was not feeling very good, and she wanted to get a new, you know, a new look. And so he has to say, okay, you know, all right, we went over budget, so we'll have to tighten up next month. And we'll let it go this time, but please, you know, let's talk about it before. $200 for highlights seems a bit much. Couldn't you have gone to Supercuts? I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that I think that you just see how intense, how important is this argument? Is this going to threaten my marriage? Certainly infidelity threatens a marriage. Certainly overspending can threaten a marriage if it's done habitually. Certainly losing a job and not telling a spouse about it, that's very threatening, and that's that's scary because he doesn't feel safe with her in order to tell her that,
mm-hmm.
or she with him, depending upon who lost the job.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I got a lot of those, so we can go on. I don't want to stick to one topic unless...
Yeah, no, let's move on. I mean, a lot of, you know, a lot of what we were... what we're covering here is also stuff that you talk about in your book. So I know you definitely go in depth there. So let me give you another scenario, a pre-marriage scenario, when, you know, you hear this a lot of last minute indecision.
Mm-hmm.
So how does someone know whether this is normal jitters or actual serious doubts that need to be considered?
Excellent question, Juanita. I think that what we look at is, when did the doubt first arise? What made the person doubt that this is a bad marriage? Was it something or a bad mate, possibly a bad mate? Was there something that the other person did that made him, let's say, well, he's the one who discovers this, feels this doubt? Is it something that she did? If it's something that she did, let's talk about it. Talk with her. I don't like the fact that you began seeing your ex-boyfriend again. Here we're about to get married and you're starting to date him. Are you having any doubts? Oh, I'm not dating him. He just wanted to share with me that he got this new job, or that he got a new girlfriend, or whatever it happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
We were close and he wanted to share that with me. So does that resolve the doubt? Does he believe her? Is that true? You know, and he has to get in touch with his feelings. Why is he doubting? And also, is he a doubter in general?
Mm-hmm.
Does he doubt all other things as well? Should he take this job? Does he belabor issues? Is it hard for him to make a decision? Is he a chronic indecision person? Is he chronically afflicted with indecision? You know, if that's part of his personality, well, then certainly it's going to happen when you're making the most important decision in your life,
right,
which is a marriage.
Right.
So he's, you know, it's natural to have some doubt, because we're never sure. We're never 100% sure.
It is a risk, in a way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is a risk.
Yeah.
And so you want to avoid the risk. So work it out. Figure it out. If you have... really, you know, unrelenting doubts, then obviously there's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Did I answer your question?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so let's talk a little bit. I know we're kind of winding up time here. I wish we had all day to talk. I mean, there's so many directions we could go in, but I really want to squeeze this in because so many people in these times are on seconds, third marriages, and there's children involved
mm-hmm.
at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So what should couples know when they are getting into situations where there's kids involved?
Very good question, very important question, and I think that they have to really decide with each other what kind of role do you want me to play with my stepchildren, because they're going to be her stepchildren or his, you know, we'll say it's a woman who's marrying a man with children. Do you want me to be a mother substitute? Do you want me to be a nanny? What would you like? How do you want to proceed?
Mm-hmm.
So he has to tell her, well, you know, they have a mother. They have a good mother. Didn't work out with us, but, you know, I don't want you to be their mother. Maybe I want you to be your friend. Are you comfortable with that? Do you want to be like a friend to them? A friend in a position of some authority, you know, if they're little kids. If they're teenagers, it's a whole different story. It really depends upon the age of the children, you know, how much caretaking that is involved there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very tricky thing because with other children, there are also some financial obligations that the one who does not have the children may resent. I find that a lot in couples that I see today,
mm-hmm.
Where he is spending money on a very, very high price tuition for college. You know, the kids are really adults now. They're over 18. They're in college, university, and she resents it because it really puts a dent in their budget. You know, a good university is very expensive. It's more than a year's worth of salary for many people.
Yes.
Yep. So that could be that those things need to be talked about before you get married. You know, what do you really want? How can we work with this? You know, I resent your spending all this money on your children, although I appreciate, you know, that you're a good parent. What is this going to do to our children? It's going to take away from the capacity to have funds for our own children, mm-hmm. the children that we have together. So how do we breach this this conflict? This really can be very. They have to talk about this before they get married and make some decision. They don't know what's going to happen later on when the children get older. Let's say the children are little when this couple gets married.
Yeah.
They have to really plan for future. Mm-hmm. And she has to say, you know, I love you enough that, you know, I'll work harder. I'll work harder so that we can send our kids to college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a good job. I'll take another job because you're a great parent with your kids. And I think you'll be a great parent with our kids. You know, you show me that you're a good parent and a caring parent. So, I mean, they have to be able to be a kind of couple that are mature enough to accept it. And there are a lot of problems involved with stepchildren.
Yeah.
You know, and
they come up unknowingly. You know, there's only so much you can prepare.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And how the children relate to the other parent, you know,
right.
the step parent,
and then each other.
Yes, and the step children with their half sister
exactly.
or half brother.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot there,
yeah.
and they have to be a couple that are willing to handle this. I have I wrote about a couple in my book that I think did such a great job. I really praise them. I'm so pleased with the way they did this. And I have to say, I don't think I had much to do with it. I think this was really from the couple themselves. They really, he married a wonderful woman, and I just think this woman was incredible. She took on three children, four children. She took on a whole bunch of kids of various ages, one of whom, the oldest, was a real mess. He was a kid with ADHD. He was very oppositional. He wouldn't listen. He would destroy property. He was a real difficult child. The father had custody of the children, full custody of the children, because the mother was really not available. She took on this family, this new wife, and she did such a splendid job. I mean, it really was wonderful. Before they got married, she got to know them individually and together. She did not sleep in the house with him until after they were married. Once, I think he was sick, and she came and she stayed and took care of him, her mate, and stayed downstairs in the guest room. While he was in the master bedroom,
wow.
ill,
mm-hmm.
and she was just, this was her old idea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was
very smart about it.
She was terrific, and she
yeah.
was young.
Uh-huh.
She was a very young woman to have this kind of intellect and this kind of emotional maturity. She was incredible,
mm-hmm.
and I say that because. I say that in the book because I think it's an expectation we may put on that kind of a person, you know, person in that role, that very few people are able to do.
Yeah.
She was exceptional. Wouldn't it be great if everyone were like that?
Like that. What a role model.
Yeah.
Very inspiring.
Yeah, so it is a very difficult situation. They have to work these things out
yes.
before they get married.
Yes. And that's basically really what you're saying with the work that you do and this book. It's do this before you walk down the aisle. Talk
Absolutely.
About these things. Yeah.
No, don't wait. Don't wait. Because if you don't do it now, it's going to be a hell of a lot worse later.
Yeah, right, right. And it will come later. You will have to deal with it later.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sandy, let's mention your website once again. Would you tell our audience how to get a hold of you?
Yes, it's www.drsandraleveycren.com.
Wonderful.
And it's all one word. You
yeah.
know
yeah.
how those things go.
Yes. drsandralevyseren.com. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay, great. Well, it has been wonderful talking with you today. Thank you so much for coming to the program and really sharing your thoughts, and really much success and all the best to you with this book. It really, it's a great book. I love the way that you have just streamlined the information, made it so easy to read, but really you've packed a lot into this guide. So congratulations.
Thank you so much, Juanita. It's really a pleasure talking to you. You really made me think.
Yeah, oh, good. Well, wonderful. Well, I hope to do it again, Sandra. So you have a wonderful day, and thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. All right, listeners, that's been Dr. Sandra Seren. Her latest book, Look Before You Leap, is available on shelves now. And this is a wonderful book. As I mentioned earlier, this is a compilation of 40 years of professional experience. So Sandra has really packed a lot in here. So do check it out. Her website, once again, drsandralevyseren.com. And that's just as it sounds, drsandralevyseren.com. So thank you again for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live and listening to our wonderful interview today. I'm Juanita Watson. And until next time.